Hey, it's January 26th. You know what that normally means for me is I've given up on my New Year's resolutions to become more fit, and I've started melting cheese on everything in the house. But so far, so good for me anyway. Despite the temptation of the fridge, I've been doing all right. We are in the final message in our series, Staying Power. But I make the joke about New Year's resolutions because what we're talking about isn't power to keep our New Year's resolutions, okay? It's more important than that. I highlight that to say that's not what it's about, which is a weird thing to do, I guess, now that I said it out loud. But we are talking about something deeply important. It's the power that God provides for us to keep living for Him until our Lord returns, until Jesus returns, or until He calls us home. And the quote from Jesus that we've been reading every week in this series is found in John chapter 15, when Jesus said to His disciples, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in Me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." We grow with, we said, everlasting, renewable energy as we remain connected with Jesus. We can run low on energy and motivation in this life, but because of our relationship and our connection with Jesus, He continually will refill us as we turn and surrender to Him over and over again. And a couple of weeks ago, we learned that being connected to Jesus also includes being connected to His people, the church. He said, "Everyone will know you're a disciple of Mine by the love you show one another, by being connected and doing life together with His people." So we talked about that a couple weeks ago, but what we haven't talked about yet is how hard it is, how difficult it is to stay connected. It's difficult to stay connected to Jesus, and He's perfect. He loves us. He never lets us down, and yet we drift, kind of like the drift towards the melted cheese. So it is in our lives. We drift toward things to fill our lives that aren't Him. And yet, He's perfect. But even harder, even more difficult, is to really be committed to our brothers and sisters in Christ, in the church, because we're fallen. We do let each other down. Hopefully not that often, but it happens. Our love is supposed to be what draws people. You know, our love for one another is supposed to draw people in, and they're supposed to say, "Oh, I want to be a part of that kind of family, that part of that community." And yet, we have stories, we've heard stories of heartbreak and disappointment in the church, and that have actually served to push people away from church. It's not the way it ought to be, though. What we'll see as we're studying this morning's message, which is entitled "The Power of Staying." There's power in staying, sticking it out, all right, in our commitment to Jesus and His church. What we'll see is that even when it's hard to do this, it's worth it. It's worth the commitment to Jesus and to His church. Scripture teaches that the church is called the body of Christ. In this way, where Jesus' physical presence in the world, where His hands and feet out in the world and in each other's lives. And God desires us to be Jesus to the world, to be part of His advancing kingdom. When we come to Christ and when we connect with Christian living, this is what we've been talking about up until now. That's God's part. He's giving us His power and His blessings and all these things in our lives. We've been talking about that, God's part, up until now. But staying connected and doing the things we're called to do together, that's our part. That's what we're here to do in the world around us and to be part of God's advancing kingdom. And so the main idea, the one thing you want to write down, if you don't write anything else down, is this. Write it down on your outline. It goes like this: commit to church to become strong in Christ. Commit to church to become strong in Christ. If you want to be a healthy, strong, growing Christian, if that's your desire, and I hope it is, then you need to be committed to Jesus' church. You can't grow strong without the church. You say, "Are you sure, Chris? Let's look at what Scripture has to say." We need that committed connection to His church. And so let's look at five ways that church commitment strengthens us. They're there on your outline, and we're going to go through them fast. When I have 5 points, I know I got to not spend too much time on any given point. So we're going to rattle these off. The first one is this. It's where we belong. It's very simple. Church is where the Christian belongs to be able to grow. Paul writes it like this in Ephesians, and his letter to the Ephesians in the New Testament is all about church life, what it's like to be in the community of Christ. And so we're going to look at that a number of times this morning. But he says here in 2:19, you are a member of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. And so we learn here that the church is God's family, and a Christian without a church is like an orphan. It says, but that's not what God wants for you. You belong at home. You belong at home with your family, with committed Christ followers. Jesus said it himself, something very strong, that the importance of our family relationship in the church. When his mom and his half-brothers came to collect him, they thought, actually, if you read the Gospels, they at one point in Jesus' ministry, they thought he had lost his mind. And they went to take charge of him, it says. And so when they showed up, somebody came to Jesus while he was teaching, said, your mom and brothers are outside. And look what it reads in verse 48 here. It says, Jesus replied to him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Then it says, pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of the Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. And so Jesus calls us, you and me, if we're his disciples, if we're doing his will, we're committed to Jesus, we're his family. This is where we belong. Just like a child in a loving home, you know, a child in a love, I hope this is true for my boys, for my sons, that they are going to receive support and encouragement and opportunities and even boundaries. They're going to receive discipline and boundaries too in our home. And this is all going to help them to grow, to be strong believers, to be strong men of God as they grow. Well, it's the same in true in the church. Christians receive this support, this encouragement, this opportunity, and even discipline and boundaries when we're connected with a church family. It doesn't need to be this church in particular, although I am quite partial to Stony Creek Church. I am up here preaching after all. But, you know, maybe you're visiting today and you are welcome here, absolutely. But maybe you're committed at a different church, and that's all right. God's churches are all over the place doing his will. In 15 years of ministry, I've discipled lots of folks that God has called, you know, to go on to other ministries and serve, and I celebrate that. God at work in different churches. But wherever you are, and if it is here, be committed. Just set roots. Say, I am throwing myself in with this family of believers to accomplish what God's doing here in this community, here in this church. It's where we belong. The second way that church commitment strengthens the Christian, strengthens us in our relationship with Jesus, is that it's necessary for growth. It's necessary for growth. Again, in Ephesians, this time in chapter 4, there's this great passage about church life, and there's some yellow print. When we get there, you can help me out just to help us make sure we're staying awake while I'm reading. You're not falling asleep to the mellow tones of my voice. And also that helps underline some key phrases in here. So this is what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Yeah. Until we reach unity in the faith and in all knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants. We're growing. We won't continue to be baby Christians, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. In case you were wondering, Paul writes it in there nice and plainly for us. From him, from Jesus, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament. grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And so here in this great passage about church life and its design, we learn that church isn't a man-made religion. There are man-made religions, and some people have turned church into man-made religions. All right, I'll admit that. But the design is Jesus' design. He established his church. He organized his church under the leaders that he's equipped to do his purpose. And of course, the purpose is for us to grow, to reach the full measure of the fullness of Christ. We won't be spiritual infants, he writes, susceptible to evil or corruption. You know, Christians that are disconnected from church, they can't grow in Jesus. Instead, when we get disconnected from our Christian family, from the body of Christ, we sink into the culture around us. Easily blown here and there. It says it here, and I've seen it. I've seen it with dear friends and family members. And I'm not saying you just need me or you need Randy to grow. This is a mutual thing. I need you. I need every one of you that God has planted here in my church family. Paul writes this in another letter. He says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. It's a mutual commitment with mutual benefit. And I'm so thankful to be here at a church. I've been here for, you know, almost two decades now. No, over two decades. I've been over here over two decades. It doesn't matter. You don't need the precise. You're like, liar! No, it's been over two decades. What am I talking about? And I'm so thankful that this is a place where so many are plugged into meaningful ministry. We're using our gifts, our talents, our experience. It's all from God. Whether it's a supernatural gift or just the knowledge that he's given you, the desires he's given you, we're using that to serve one another and to be part of his advancing kingdom. What a privilege and honor it is for me to be here. And I'm so thankful. The third way on our outline that church commitment strengthens us is that it produces character. Commitment produces character. Commitment to church produces godly character. You know, struggles, of course we know. Struggles and disagreements, they strain relationships. I've been married 17 years. I got that number right. It's right away. 22 years, Leah and I have been together as a couple. And of course, we've had our share of disagreements, arguments, you know, letting each other down. Maybe more so me letting her down. You'd have to talk to her about that. But you know, as I look back over the years, we've become stronger as we work through those things. We've become better at dealing. At the beginning of our relationship, you know, we had all those tingly feelings for one another. And I just, you know, had the rose-colored glasses on. And so if I ever did let her down, I wanted to get right real quick because she's cute and I want her to like me. But eventually those tingly feelings can fade. They still come back from time to time, but we can't really rely on that to fix our problems, right? We've got to actually do the work now. And over the years, I've seen that, you know, we've become better at serving one another. We've become better at humbling ourselves faster. We've become better at calling each other out, not just letting something secretly bug us. You know, so that, you know, Leah's super angry at me for 6 months and I don't even know about it. I'm like ignorant and clueless to it, you know. No, she'll come out and say it. And we've gotten better at these kinds of things. And I love Leah and am more deeply committed to her now than ever before. Well, the same is true right here in the family of Christ. In the context of church, in Colossians 3, the Apostle Paul writes, bear with each other and forgive one another. He's talking about in the church, one another. Forgive one another. Bear with one another if you have a grievance against someone. If we're not committed, if we haven't set down roots and said, that's it, I'm part of this family, then it's easy to cut and run. When I let you down, you can say, hey, I'm not going to bother trying to figure this out with Chris. I'll just go to the next place, you know? But when we're committed, well, now we got to deal with it because we don't want it, you know, to be awkward every time we see each other on Sunday or Wednesday or in a small group or something. And so we got to deal with these things to reach unity, to reach God's peace. And then we're stronger for it. In Romans 5, it reads, suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character. When we go through the rough times, the suffering with one another and get through it, we're stronger for it. If you correct me when I'm in error, I'm better for it. But you're stronger too because you've helped me work through it. You've become more like Jesus, who's always having to work on me and correct me. And that leads to our fourth way on the outline, that church commitment strengthens us. You want to write this down. We become more like Jesus. Kind of going further in point three, but that's about character. Now I want to talk about heart. I want to talk about Jesus' heart here. Back to Ephesians, my favorite letter in this sermon. In chapter 5, there is this tender passage, and it's about how husbands and wives ought to treat one another. And Paul, as he's writing it, says this is a picture of how Jesus and the church operate, too. That Jesus calls the church his bride and treats her like his wife, like his bride. And it reads this way. He says, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing her with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. This admits the church has problems. It needs to be saved. It needs to be made holy, cleansed, washed with the word. We need stain remover and de-wrinkler. We need that. But this passage also says Jesus is committed to doing that for his bride. Jesus is committed to us. He's committed to you for eternity. He laid his life down for you to pay the penalty for your sins and my sins that separated us from God the Father. He took care of that because he is committed to us. He's committed to his church. He loves her. He's committed to this church. He loves us. And if we want to be Christ-like, if we want our heart to beat like Christ, our heart should beat for his church, his bride. When we sing songs about God's love, it's awesome. But I've noticed for myself that I'm thinking primarily of that love as it applies to me. But we got to think of that love as it applies to the person next to me, to others in the church, even the person maybe I'm having a problem with right now, that they can sing about the same love because Jesus laid down his life for them too. Scripture teaches Jesus and his church, they're a package deal. You can't have one without the other. Wanting Jesus includes wanting his family. He knows that she's flawed and he's working to purify her generation after generation. And so we need to go about it the same way. We need to be committed to help one another, grow in Christ so that we can all become more like Jesus. When you're having a problem with somebody, and you need to address it, you need to confront the person, think about how would Jesus deal with this person. We're not going in to just win an argument to show how holy we are and how lack of holy they are. We need to go into it like Jesus to help repair and restore that person. And we need to search ourselves and make sure that it's not just our ego or something, because Jesus lays down his life. Any kind of ego, and if there's any person who had claim, it's Jesus who's God, to say, I'm better than you. And he laid himself down for us, so we ought to do the same. It makes us stronger. The final way that church commitment strengthens us that we're going to look at today on the outline is this. It enables us to face a fallen world. There's a real heart-wrenching passage in the book of Hebrews where there's this hopelessness and this judgment, this fiery judgment awaiting the person described here. You want to read it? Ready or not, we're gonna read it. It's tough, but I'm just warning you, this is the parental advisory, all right, on this one. It goes like this. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. There's nothing else for you if you're guilty of what they're getting at here. But only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has, look at this, trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctifies them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace. Whew. What are these folks doing? What are these folks doing that's worse than rejecting the law of Moses, that's making them an enemy of God? Okay, what are these people doing that's like, he says, it's like trampling the Son of God underfoot. It's like we're walking over Jesus' body like a floor mat. He says, it's like treating the spilled blood of Jesus on our behalf like it's no big deal. Oh. He says it's like cussing at the Holy Spirit. I don't even like saying that. I don't even like saying these things. Well, there's three exhortations that are given in this passage, in this chapter. If you've got your Bibles, open up to Hebrew 10. You can look at them. I'm going to highlight them quickly, but you can kind of read through yourself. He gives these three exhortations based on what he's been talking about up until this point. The first one is in verse 22. He says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart." With a sincere heart. He's talking about coming to God through Christ. That we need to humble ourselves, repent, and surrender to Jesus as the Lord of our life, as our Savior. If we don't do that, he says, there's nothing else left for you. It's just Jesus. Saying just Jesus is weird for me, because it's all Jesus, but there's nothing else. There's nothing beside him. The second exhortation is, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. He's talking about holding on to the truth, holding on to our relationship with Christ, to the hope we have in him, professing it. The hope we profess, that implies we're professing, we're speaking it out. He's talking about Christian living here, remaining in Christ. We talked about that a few weeks ago. And then he says, number three, verse 24, he says, let us consider how we may spur one another on. He's talking about our relationship with each other in the church now, toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day approaching, the day of Jesus' return. You see, the author in Hebrews here, he's dealing with a church where they've been seeing people drift away from the relationship with Jesus and from the church, from his people. And the author is concerned that this bad influence of people that are drifting away from their faith, that this is going to have a negative impact on the people that are faithful, that are still meeting together, that are still drawing near to the Lord with a sincere heart, that are still holding and professing the hope that they have. He's worried about them, and so he writes this letter, and for 10 chapters, he's talked about the superiority of Christ, that Christ is above and superior to everything else that you could possibly think of running to instead of him. 10 chapters he's been talking about that, and peppered through it, he's got these very, very strong but loving warnings against falling away from Jesus or his people, from our commitment to Jesus and his people. But he's got hope for this group. He remains very hopeful, because look what he says next here. In verse 32, after he's given this strong warning, he says, I've got some hope for you guys. In verse 32, and you can help me out in the yellow print, he says, remember those early days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions, something more important in Christ and his church that will last forever. So, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere, staying power. Series we're going into, don't give up. This is the theme for 2020. To persevere, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who's coming will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Yeah, I like that. This fallen world can and will be a hard place if you follow Jesus. Because the world is at war with her creator. We were, too, before we trusted in Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. And these folks 2,000 years ago were facing rejection, persecution, insult, even the confiscation of their property and being falsely imprisoned. We don't face anything like that here in America. But our brothers and sisters do around the world. They face these exact things. They even face beheadings, beatings, and killings because they stand for Jesus. What's going to help them face that? Their relationship with Christ, surrendering to Him, of course, but also that we're continuing to spur one another on, to stand side by side with one another, to love and encourage one another toward love and good deeds. Church is where we belong. If you're a Christ follower, you belong here. It's where you get what you need for growth. It's where you contribute to the growth of others. It's where our character is built up and our heart learns to beat like Jesus' heart for His people and for the world around us. And it's what helps us to stand in a fallen world and to not shrink back. And so our main idea, commit to church to become strong in Christ. Now, I saved myself a few minutes here at the end because on your outline, there's a next step portion. You see that there? Next step portion, and it's blank. And I want to give a few recommendations for next step. I really want every one of us in here to be thinking and praying about what's my next step to become more committed to Jesus' body, the church, so that I can become stronger in my relationship with Him. And I'm giving my disclaimer, it's going to sound like announcements. Whenever I do something like this, they're like, you just rattled out. It's like, we already had the announcements video, Chris. Why are you giving us more announcements? But you know, everything we do at this church is part of our discipleship process. We do these things for a reason, and so I want to highlight a few of them, and I want you to be thinking about, what do I need to do? The first thing that could be your next step to committing to the church, becoming stronger in Christ, is to come to Christ in the first place. If you've never put your trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, make that decision to do it today. Do it today. Surrender to Jesus as your Lord. That means God, the boss. He's in charge now. And as your Savior, that means the one who died for you on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sin that separated you from your Creator. Turn yourself over to Jesus today. That's step one for you if you've never done it. Another thing that you could do is, we've got our newbie lunch today. What a great opportunity if you're newer to the church or if you're just not feeling, you know, connected yet. I encourage you to come to our newbie lunch after the service. About 10 minutes or so, we're going to conclude the service, and that's going to be ready back there. It's Jet's Pizza, so we spared no expense on getting the good pizza. Didn't do the $5 pizza, nothing wrong with that, but that's youth group pizza. This is newbie lunch pizza. Oh, I hurt somebody's feelings. Okay, move on. Man, you're like, you turn your back on the youth so fast, Chris, after you... You turned it over to Ken, and now you're insulting? No, I love them. Love them, love them. Come out to our newbie lunch. Of course, you can't commit to somebody until you get to know them, right? You got to learn their name. You got to decide that you like them and then get to know them. So come back to the newbie lunch. I'd like to get to know you if you're newer to the church here. Another next step for somebody, if you have committed to Christ but you've never been baptized, that's the first way you show your commitment to Jesus right out of the gate, is you get baptized. And we've got a baptism coming up. I won't worry about rattling off the info. It's there in the program. Check that out. And then another step for somebody. This is important. We've got our Exploring the Creek membership class coming up. Membership is how we here at Stony Creek Church express our commitment. All right? Different churches can do it in different ways. The way we say, I'm committed to this church. I'm setting down roots. This is the place for me. I want to be a family member that can be counted on, is through our membership. That's how we do it. So you want to be committed here? Would you sign up to take our membership class? You know, we only do it about twice a year. unless there's a big need at a third time or something. And so even if you're just thinking maybe down the road you want to consider membership, take the class. Taking the class doesn't mean you're becoming a member. It's just the next step to find out if you want to, and it is required for membership. So take it. Sign up for it. Details there in the program. Another great way to step up your commitment is serving. You know, we've got ministry needs around the church. I know that our kids' ministry is looking for a couple of people, somebody to work the registration desk on Sunday, somebody to work with toddlers on our Wednesday program, and that's as a help. So even if you don't have any experience, that's a great place to start. You just need some energy, and then because they've got it. And then we also have need for some other assistance in various classes on Sunday mornings. Most of these are a once-a-month rotation, and so you can use your connection card to sign up for that, or if maybe you're interested in something else. Those are just the ones I know about because I put the feelers out with some ministry leaders, said, hey, what are some needs? And I got those. I know that we could use a couple extra people on our usher greeter ministry, especially at our 10 o'clock service. So I'm speaking to the wrong crowd right now. I get that. But I did mention it in the last service. And we also have some need on our cleaning team. But you know, God might be laying on your heart to do something. Maybe it's something we don't even do yet here at Stoney. God's done that recently. We've got our Mothers of Preschool program. That's recent because he put it on Hannah Nelson's heart. We've got our Celebrate Recovery ministry. We've got our Safety Security team, our Lifeguard, Pro-Life ministry. These are all recent in the last couple years because God laid it on somebody's heart. All right? And we got a better way that we can serve one another or a better way we can reach out to our community. Share it with us. I'd love to talk with you, and we'll see what's the next step for that. The sixth way that could be your next step for committing to the church is through a small group. We've got tons of small groups. They meet at different times, different days, and different locations all over the place. Small groups are the way that you get to know and be connected with people so that you find out about needs. So if somebody's hurting or somebody is going through a struggle or they're going through a joy in their life, they've got a more closely connected small group of people that will rally around them. I love my small group. Anybody who's in a small group can give you a testimony that they're great. And so if you're not plugged into a small group, I encourage you to do so. We've got a new series starting. You saw the video for Don't Give Up. There's a small group study that goes along with what Randy's going to be preaching on Sundays. And our small groups director, Andy Barba, can you put up your hand just so that people can see you? He's right over there. He's going to be in the hallway. So if you're not plugged in, this is a great time. We're starting something new. Lots of the groups are. I think there's 9 groups that are particularly doing this particular study. So get signed up for that. And then lastly, consider beginning a coaching relationship. Consider beginning a coaching relationship. We read in Hebrews, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. I'm not going to give you another sermon because I already gave you the sermon, but I do want to talk about spur just for a second. If you'll indulge me, whether you like it or not, I'm going to do it. All right? The word spur there can mean provoke or irritate or disturb. Okay? When there's the command that says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. That word there is to spur. Don't spur them toward anger. And so what is a coaching relationship? I like to say that coaching relationships are more than hanging out. They are bugging people toward godliness. A coaching relationship is bothering people until they're godlier. You know, that's what it is. That's what it is. We're getting on each other's backs, all right? Like a parent with a child, I'm going to be on my kid's back to be good and to do the right things, you know, to grow in love and good deeds like we're supposed to do. But we can also do it with each other, with adults. You see it in the parent-child relationship. But I've got guys that spur me on, and I am meeting with people in a coaching relationship to spur them on toward love and good deeds. If you would like to know more about that, just indicate that on your connection card. Drop it in the offering bag when it comes around. I'm the guy who gets that information out for coaching if people are interested. I've got a little link that I can send you with a video. It's me. Sorry, it's more of me talking about it. And then there's some information on how you can get one of these kinds of relationships started. It's very important that we spur one another on. It's one of these exhortations in Hebrews. All right, one more time. Commit to church, to become strong in Christ. We're going to close our service with our time of offering here, invite the band up. And on your outline, there is a final section. It's questions for after the message. It's because I just wanted us to continue meditating and chewing on these things that we're learning on Sunday. So that's what we've been doing for this series. And so maybe in your small group later today or around the lunch table, you might ask these questions, discuss these things, so you can keep thinking about that. And if you do talk about it with somebody, there's things about holding each other accountable to take those next steps of commitment. And so let's be doing that. Why don't we stand together? We're going to pray over this morning's offering and go into a final closing song of praise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together here this morning. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you how this church has just had an immeasurable impact on my life from the time I was a teenager, 16 years old, until now. I'm so thankful for the impact this church has had to develop and grow me as I've been growing in my relationship with you. Lord, I pray that every person would have that same experience. I want other people to feel about your church the way I do and just be challenged on to grow. Lord, show us our next step. I've got steps I've got to take to deepen my commitment to you and to your church. Show each one of us our next step here today. God, as we give you this offering, we do it as an act of worship and thanksgiving. We don't do it to pay you back for anything because we never could. We simply worship you with this offering. I pray you'd bless it, that you'd use it to advance your kingdom, your will, far beyond these walls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.